Marriage has got a quite bad reputation over the years. The butt of a seemingly infinite numbers of jokes, matrimony is a source of endless social commentary, gender politics, and governmental debate. In the United States alone, marriage has fallen upon particularly hard times. Fewer and fewer people are choosing to marry. In fact, less than a half of current U.S. households are made up of married couples. The percentage of Americans who have never married is growing, while the number of couples living together without marrying is increasing exponentially. Meanwhile, more and more children are born to single mothers. This is a sad, sad statistic. Top of all that, America still has the highest divorce rate among Western nations and the highest incidence of single-parent families of other industrialized nations. There is no denying that the landscape of the American family has changed radically over the past 50 years. What is the marriage culture, surely? What can we talk about the marriage culture? What the culture of marriage as far as Christianity is concerned? These statistics raise questions about the value and the meaning of marriage in contemporary of American culture. Given changes in reproductive technology, shifts in cultural attitudes about sexual immorality and the apparent value of marriage as an ideal relationship. Has marriage become relevant? No, marriage has not become relevant. Though it might seem so, sociologists Mark Regeners and Jeremy Ucker recently reported that the American youth are as interested in marriage as at any time. More than 95% intend to marry someday. But from romance novels to reality TV movies, unrealistic expectations, false understandings about love, marriage and romance are easily perpetuated. As a result, both those seeking out a marriage partner and those trying to stay in marriage relationship struggle with this misunderstanding of the definition of that same relationship itself. And all this brings to us a bone of contention. Welcome. My name is Moses Randi. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us the mystery of marriage. Let's continue. The above illustrations were just a mere statistics up there. Can a Christian faith make difference in this understanding and the quest for meaningful marriage? The answer we have to ask ourselves. Marriage and faith. Through marriage, though marriage is not the distinctive domain of a Christian church, the Bible and influential Christian thinkers do have quite a bit to say on the matter. So what makes a marriage a Christian marriage? Yes. Clearly, simply being religious or professing Christian beliefs isn't a cure all. It doesn't guarantee a long-lasting, blissful marriage. To answer our questions, we must look at the essential elements of Christian marriage and see how they differ from other approaches to the marriage relationship. As early as the first century, Christian writers have commented on the relationship between their faith and marriage. Apostle Paul, for instance, penned these words down. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does to the church. For we are members of this body, of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. In these verses, Paul compares the relationship between husband and wife to the relationship of between Jesus and the church. This has incredibly important implication for the nature of Christian marriage. The covenant of marriage. Christians approach marriage as a covenant, a relationship based on promises and commitment, not just feelings, though love is most certainly involved. The concept of marriage as a covenant is rooted in the Hebrew faith, and early Christians preserved the beliefs as well. God's covenant with Israel was founded on his promise to be faithful to Israel. The Hebrew people promised faithfulness to God as well, though the Bible doesn't hide the fact that they struggled and often failed to keep that pledge. Like God with the Israelites, Jesus established what he called a new covenant with his followers. To speak of marriage as a covenant is to say that the partners make mutual promises about the way they will choose to live in the future, not just declarations of how they feel in the present. They endeavor to live into those promises, remaining faithful to their covenant, will shape their characters over the years. Christian love. Christian marriage is also distinctly based on agape, the Greek word used in Jesus' teachings and early Christian writings to describe the kind of love God expresses to human beings. Agape has nothing to do with fanciful concepts of romantic love upon which so many American cultures' marriage myths are founded. Despite how pleasurable such feelings may be at the outset of the relationship, they seldom have the staying power to withstand a lifetime of ups and downs. The for better or for worse in the matrimony is one of the greatest vows to be made. Agape is an entirely different concept, so important that Paul devoted a whole section in his first letter to the Corinthians to define it. You may have heard a well-known phrase from the section, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love rejoices with the truth. Paul then goes on to describe as a sacrificial way of loving others. This kind of unconditional love, or an active striving to live out this kind of love, daily marks a genuinely Christian marriage. Just as it characterizes an authentically Christian life, is found in an active choice one makes about how to behave towards another, not a conditional feeling one has outside or towards someone. Agape is based on the deliberate choices of the lover, not the responses of the beloved. Wow. Christ-centered marriage, perhaps, is the most distinct characteristic of a Christian marriage. Marriage, which makes the other two possible, is that it is intentionally centered on Christ Jesus, not on someone's perspective view. Each spouse continually works to know, love, and obey Jesus and follow his example. In this way, husband and wife learn to express agape and remain faithful to their covenant. As they practice the Christian faith together, they move towards each other, growing together in love and in unity. But what about a marriage in which only one spouse is a follower of Jesus? Could that marriage ever be a Christian marriage? Paul actually writes about such a case in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12 to 16. He urges the believing partner to stay married to their unbelieving spouse because of the believer's influence on their partner and children. One person who is seeking to follow Jesus Christ, learning to live out of agape and keeping the promises of the covenant, brings Christ's presence into the marriage. Constant pursuit of the Christianity. Christian or not, marriage is difficult for any couple, to sustain over a lifetime. Life trials, the pressure of making a living, parenting, resisting temptation to unfaithfulness or selfishness can strain any marriage out there. But Christian marriage offers hope. The hope that a husband and wife, by intentionally choosing to learn how to love faithfully and sacrificially as Jesus did, may keep their covenant promises for a lifetime. Thank you so much. Remember, there are four types of love. Four types of love. The first type of love is called agape love. Agape love is unconditional love. It's the love of God. This is the love that the Bible talks about in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is the unconditional love. Someone loves you without doing anything. Someone gives you something that you don't deserve. It's an unmerited favor. This is the agape love. Love that does not seek any profit. There's another type of love. It's called Eros. Eros is a romantic love, romantic kind of life. It comes out of lust, sexual lust. This is called Eros. It's not agape love, remember. There's another kind of love called philia. Philia. Philia is a brotherly love or friendship. It's founded in Philadelphia. So this philia love is a love by which you can express it towards your sibling, maybe towards it's a bland bond love. How a parent loves his child, how a child loves his parent, how a brother loves his sister, or a sister loves his brother, something like that. That's a sort of bond that is called philia love. So there's another one called storge. Storge is a family bond. So godly love, it looks for no benefit. It doesn't expect returns. It is selfless love. It is unconditional love. That is called agape love. So Christianity, we must base our life, our marriage, and everything on this love called agape love. Think about Christ Jesus. Think about his sacrifice for you. Think about his redemption work on the cross on your behalf. Love your spouse with all her weaknesses, with all his weaknesses. Remember, God loves you, and God loved you, and God will always love you despite all your mishaps. Thank you so much. My name is Moses Omondi. Find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is called Moses Luande. And also, you can also call me if you want a spiritual mentorship. I'm a teacher of the word by the grace of God. You can call me or WhatsApp me at 0741-159925. Thank you so much. Have a blessed evening.